AI.
Extraordinary.
Iedereen heeft het erover.
Noem dit maar een cynische geest, maar ik ga dan gelijk denken, oké, waar kun je dat allemaal voor misbruiken?
Maar er gebeurt zoveel, dat kun je toch niet bijhouden? Jawel, want er is Poki. Een podcast over kunstmatige intelligentie, waarin ik praat met supernerd Alexander Klupping.
Jij kijkt me nu aan een soort van hoezo misbruik.
En techfilosoof Wietse Hagen.
Kunnen we dit normaliseren? Willen we dit normaliseren?
Over de wondere wereld van AI.
Do you like me?
Status error.
Luister. Poki.
Ik ga nu ophangen. Bedankt.
Dit is een bonusaflevering van de Bright Podcast. De eerste, voor zover wij ons kunnen herinneren, en eentje helemaal in het kader van VanMoof. De Nederlandse e-bikemaker is inmiddels in Britse handen en de vernieuwde VanMoof S5 is net weer te koop. Hoe is dat achter de schermen gegaan en wat brengt de toekomst? Dat vroeg onze fietsenman David aan de twee topmannen van VanMoof, de co-CEO Elliot Wertheimer en Nick Fry, topman van de nieuwe VanMoof-eigenaar McLaren Applied. Tijdens het gesprek zitten ze in het magazijn van VanMoof. Snap je meteen waar al die geluiden vandaan komen? Delen van dit interview zitten ook in de eerste aflevering van het tweede seizoen van Bright op banden. Die is weer terug nu te zien op Bright.nl en op YouTube. Maar dit is het hele interview integraal met niks eruit geknipt. Een extraatje voor de liefhebber dus. Hopelijk vinden jullie het boeiend. We gaan beginnen.
I would like to start with the obvious. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
My name's Nick Fry. I'm a kind of car guy, so I do stuff with wheels, straight from university. So I work for a long time for Ford Motor Company in all sorts of activities, product development, manufacturing, and then went into car racing. So Subaru World Rally Team, Formula One for many years, and now I'm chairman of McLaren Applied, and our specialty is we produce all the electronics for Formula One. So the engine control unit is our specialty. Every team has to use the same unit, so it doesn't matter whether it's a Mercedes or a Ferrari, it comes from us. And now I'm very pleased to be working with this young man as chairman or non-executive chairman of VanMoof.
And Elliot.
And we're very lucky to have him, I must say. So yeah, my name is Elliot Wertheimer. I'm an aerospace engineer by education, worked a little bit in space research, and then started a micromobility company about 10 years ago with my co-CEO, now Albert. That evolved into being bought by McLaren Applied to develop a new premium electric scooter, which some people have heard about. And eventually we acquired VanMoof to restart it, to give it a second chance and grow it again, effectively. And that's where I'm at today. So I'm the co-CEO of VanMoof. Working very intensely on making this happen.
Great, thanks.
Simple relationship. He does all the work, I tell him what to do. It's kind of very nice.
Kind of. His ideas, I make them happen.
Because your original company was called Levoy, right?
Yes.
And that's e-mobility?
It was the premium micromobility subsidiary of McLaren Applied. I mean, I say it was, it still is. And it's that entity which bought effectively VanMoof after the bankruptcy. And we're now working, you know, both teams are effectively one, working towards, you know, one goal, one growth plan, one solution.
I immediately have a very difficult question. You bought VanMoof, the old VanMoof. A company that went bankrupt. It left about 200,000 users of VanMoof bikes without service and parts. What was the reason to take that risk? It sounds like a risky operation.
I think firstly, we see the future of cities as being a whole variety of transportation. So the area of micromobility is one that McLaren Applied have been studying, you know, very closely, because, you know, electric cars are a step forward in terms of reduced emissions, but the reality is the footprint of an electric car with four wheels is still pretty sizable. And in a city, you know, here in Amsterdam or in London or in many European cities, you know, space is, you know, limited. And so we think firstly that there's a huge future in micromobility. I think the second thing is, you know, despite all the difficulties which are well known with VanMoof, the thing that the team had managed to put together was, a fantastic, distinctive product, which had its issues, clearly everyone knows, but, you know, was a distinctive, you know, form of urban transportation. And they put together a very distinct brand image. And that's really difficult to do. And it's, you know, what happened with VanMoof 1.0 is terrible, unfortunate, etc. But it was part of the birth of the company. And, you know, we saw the potential. And despite the challenges that we faced and we continue to face, I think the thing is got a great future. And so, you know, we're very, very positive about, you know, what we can do with this, not just this year, but developing in the years ahead, because the area of micromobility is going to be a big thing for the future, you know, of the world.
Yeah. And just to, I think that's completely true, completely aligned with that. And just to add a couple of points, of course, when we looked at it, we discovered the amazing products and so on. The brand was, you know, really in the zeitgeist. People love the brand, they related to the brand much more than we thought initially before looking at it, right? And the tech ecosystem was years ahead of what we anticipated. It was a massive beast to catch and save, in a way save, but something, you know, ripe with opportunities. One of the main challenges, of course, is, as you said, to keep riders on the road, to make sure that they can service their bikes, they can, you know, keep rolling with their products for years to come. And that was something, you know, that was a key point we analyzed before doing the move. And once we understood that's doable, we can achieve that, we went for it. So it's all the things put together, the very good, better than we thought. The problems, of course, that we started to understand and found ways to address, and that pushed us to doing this, you know. And of course, you know, bankruptcy is never a happy story. It's quite, actually for a lot of people, it was quite sad, quite difficult. But through that, we're trying to revive something that can be, you know, much, much better than before.
So if you have to sum it all up, the old VanMoof, strong point is brand name, but you're also telling me that below the problems, the technical problems, there was actually some serious innovations underneath the skin of the bike.
Like really, really serious innovation. Yeah, so you have to give it to, you know, as Nick said, it's extremely complex, first of all, to come up with a brand that strong. You know, you could try 100 times with the same budget and not make it. The second bit is creating the products that they did, like that level of differentiation, first of all, is extremely difficult. So you have to give it to them, like, well done. You know, people love those bikes in the first place. That's why the brand got what it became. The second thing is that the level of sophistication and complexity to serve users, that's the key thing, you know. You can create a super gadgety product that has a ton of features that no one cares about. But the way they harnessed that mass and created that massive tech ecosystem and challenged it to serve users was super impressive to us. Of course, impressive in the sense that as engineers, you know, coming, working with McLaren Applied, we could really understand, like, you know, the weight of work behind that. And of course, there are reliability issues that everyone knew about on some past bikes, for sure. So that's things we started to really study and understand. And I would say that mainly, you know, reliability clearly wasn't great. But it wasn't catastrophic, I would say. It just, you know, was definitely worse than industry standard, but not catastrophic. What made it really difficult for VanMoof in the past was the fact that serviceability also was difficult, in the sense that for a trained mechanic, you know, changing a part could take a few hours. And when you're sustaining yourself, that infrastructure, it becomes a massive challenge to actually make that and survive as a business and be sustainable, right? Yep. So that's the kind of problems we saw, and that's what we're working on now, on fixing.
I think it's very easy to underestimate, you know, how complicated an electric bicycle is. Because it's a bicycle, which, you know, people have understood for hundreds of years, people think they're simple. But they face many of the challenges that you do with an electric car. You know, you have a motor, which, you know, needs modulating. You have, you know, a battery, which needs to, you know, have lots of different characteristics. It needs to be as small as possible. It needs to be as energy efficient as possible. And you have to have something in the middle which tells the motor what to do. And that's the area where McLaren Applied are very expert. And frankly, you know, VanMoof had done a good job. And, you know, I think what VanMoof had done is overextend itself a little bit, in that it had some incredibly good ideas, which were innovative in the marketplace. The ability to execute was complicated, but the job is difficult. And I think now, you know, for us, we can take it to the next stage where we have the basis of a very good company. You know, great brands, great products, great innovation. And now we've got to do the execution of taking that, you know, to the customer. And at the moment, as you can see here, we're in the process of refining that and making sure that the next generation and the product that we'll deliver, you know, during the course of this year is as good as we possibly can make it.
Can I play a little bit devil's advocate? There are a lot of people that were angry when VanMoof went bankrupt. And you can see underneath the skin of the bike, and you have all this expertise where you can see, hey, the basis of this product is very good. But how can you ensure, for example, our viewers that are disappointed in the old one, that the new VanMoof will help solve many of these problems?
Great question. It's something really fundamental we're working on, not only actually coming up and executing on the solutions, but actually showing people why we believe we can do it, right? First of all, we have McLaren Applied behind us, and Nick, we have, like, you know, fundamentally very strong automotive expertise, like, behind us. Really talented people, both from the VanMoof team, but also around us that support us. And I think, coming back to what Nick said, an e-bike is a vehicle. It's a very complex system with so many things happening. People get tricked into thinking it's a simple bike, but it's much more complex than that, which, you know, sometimes you get ambitious, you want to push a lot of innovation in a new product. Maybe you'll go a little bit too fast to market because, you know, the world is pulling you, you have cash constraints and so on. And you end up with a product that, you know, fails more than it should, definitely. So how do we plan on addressing that? We've spent the last 6-7 months, started actually around, you know, the end of August, really deep diving into the product. So that's not only understanding their functioning, the parts, the architecture of every single bit. It's also analyzing the data, right? There's hundreds, like there's 190,000 bikes on the road, I think, right now. Wow. And we have telemetry and information that, you know, and also service centers kind of results. All the crises they went through was a really choke point for data. Like, I mean, a lot of stuff came to us that sadly they didn't have the time to use to get better, but we now have this, you know, we've inherited that. So now we're leveraging that data to understand where are the problems, where are the core features we need to keep, what are the things that we can solve, what are the things we can't solve. You know, some parts, some issues are just inherently too complex for us to solve in, like, a, you know, reasonable amount of time. So we're removing those, we're reworking parts, re-engineering other stuff. We're testing like crazy, I must say. And that's, you know, thanks to Nick's guidance with his expertise in automotive, we're really put a lot of weight on getting a product done, like post-production, and, you know, I would say destroying it, but going as hard as we can on testing it through all the different extreme scenarios it can go through, making sure, you know, it holds and it stays for a long time. And so, you know, there are, as part of that story and as part of this, there are products we had to let go, right? There are products we just couldn't carry on because they were just too complicated for us to save again for us to fundamentally change in a reasonable amount of time. What we've done for those products, we've re-engineered the key parts that, you know, we think were failing the most or the most difficult to fix. And we're going to put that through our supply chain and start supplying our partners with those new parts. So I would say for the threes, for example, we're going to have new systems for shifting, you know, improved battery, new firmware updates, a lot of things like that that we've really worked on a lot and put a lot of resources behind to actually provide solutions on those threes that are better than the past parts, right? On the second side, we then inherited these fantastic new products that didn't really come fully to market yet, which already had a lot of that work done by VanMoof, because to give them credit, they saw what we saw, they just had less time to do it.
You're talking about the SNX5.
SNA5, yeah, absolutely. And we've then taken that and, you know, engineered it further, improved some key components, you know, improved the firmware a little bit, but, you know, based on what they did. So I don't want to take credit to say we redid the whole thing. They already did great work and we improved it further to the point where we now think we have some really, really solid products that are not only reliable, but rider focused, perform amazing. And finally, which is something I haven't seen that much out there, but the concept of serviceability is probably more to blame with the, you know, old VanMoof issues than reliability, because bikes and cars and motorcycles and boats, they fail. You know, they have to fight the environment constantly, they'll fail. But being able to fix them quick is actually a huge part of that whole system, right? And with the old products, it was quite difficult. And that's something we fixed. So now for our partners that will fix those bikes and service that for our customers, servicing will be not only a lot faster and easier, but supported by apps and tech we've developed to make it super smooth. So that's all the things we've done, put together, that at least make us confident that we can go to market with those products and really, you know, solve, you know, VanMoof owners' issues. And with the parallel situation of we're still working on improving old parts and delivering those parts already to really make the, let's say, the threes experience as almost as good as what would be on our new products.
So let's say if I'm...
I was just going to add, maybe I can give a slightly different angle on the same thing. One of the things that was a real standout when we were first introduced to VanMoof was the quality of the people. And unfortunately, you know, we were unable to keep either the original very large team of people, but we managed to persuade, which didn't need much persuasion, about 60 people who were with the original VanMoof team to come back, and they are incredibly good. I mean, the team of people that had been put together here in Amsterdam is a very talented crew in engineering, in marketing, here in the warehouse, etc. So we've got a lot of belief in the people that we had and that we now have. And I think that they've got a lot of experience from what happened before, so we're in a good position to improve things for the future. I think the second thing is that, you know, we can go through a long list of things that we're physically doing, and we're taking it relatively slowly. We are not going to rush things and make, you know, the same mistakes as the past, because that would be completely dumb. So we're taking things, you know, relatively slowly, trying to do it properly. But ultimately, you know, your viewers and the customers are only going to be persuaded by good product. They want good product, they want good service, they want, you know, a great, you know, riding experience. And, you know, ultimately that word of mouth and the social media and everything that goes with that will be what convinces people. You know, Elliot and I can sit here and go blah, blah, blah and tell you how wonderful it is, but ultimately the proof of the pudding will be good products. And I think now we're getting to a stage where we can say, actually, you know, we've got some really good products, not just coming in the short term, but, you know, during the course of next year, you know, coming with some updated models with new features, etc., which, you know, I'm confident it's going to put VanMoof in a good position.
Now, suppose I'm an S3 owner and I have an old one sitting in my shed and it's broken. What can you offer me in the near future as far as serviceability goes and parts?
Of course. So, first of all, we're building a big network of VanMoof partners. We're growing that monthly by tens of partners across, I think, 7 countries now. So that's the first step. You're going to have a place to fix your bike next to you very soon if you don't already. The second step is we've analyzed and understood which were the main parts that were failing for our customers. So examples are e-shifters, batteries, some buttons. We've re-engineered those, we've made them more reliable, reactivated those supply chains, and we're now importing this and feeding it to our VanMoof partners. So we're confident to say that, you know, better parts are coming closer to you very soon.
Let's say I get my S3 fixed, let's say I get a new shifter.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of warranty on it, or?
So right now there is a warranty on those parts once you fix your bike with a VanMoof partner. It's about 1 year, I think. And effectively, it's through that partner directly, right? So the servicing and after sales now is done only through our partners, and you can get your bike repaired and claim warranty through them directly when a part fails.
And I assume that network of service stations is much larger than they had in the past.
So in the past, they had about 65 certified workshops. Right now, we're closing on that number. We've had to, you know, of course, identify where are the hotspots and so on, but the goal of, you know, it's by next month to have something much larger than that, and the month after that, you know, kind of exponentially grow that infrastructure.
I mean, one thing that, again, needs to be taken steadily is this, you know, signing up someone as a VanMoof service center, you know, is easy to do. But you've got to train the people, you have to make sure they get the parts, You have to make sure that, you know, that everything is done properly to make sure that when someone takes their bike there, it can be fixed. There's people who are properly trained to do it. You know, always you need more than one person because one person may be on vacation or sick or what have you. So, you know, it's quite a, you know, a long process. And I'm pleased to say these guys are over 50 now. So as Elliot says, we're almost at the area that the number that Van Moof was at its maximum, and then we'll continue to go after that because, you know, one of the things that you know, wasn't as good as it should be in the past was the service network, and this is something, you know, we need to put together because if someone's going to spend, you know, several thousand euros on a you know, an expensive piece of equipment, they need to have the assurance that there's going to be someone nearby who can fix it when something goes wrong.
This is perhaps a difficult question. Well, what about all those people that ordered an S5 just before the bankruptcy? It was never delivered. Is there anything the new Van Moof can do for these people?
That's probably the toughest question and situation we've had to face since the restart, because first of all, you know, we feel horrible for those people. Like, I mean, I would say it's some of the most, you know, damaged and sad kind of creditors of the old Van Moof, in the sense that it's a big hit to take when you buy a new bike and you're not delivered for it, and of course you don't really have vision of what's happening. For us, it's a very complicated situation in the sense that the capital that they invested in those bikes and the bikes themselves are still with the bankrupt estate of Van Moof. So it's not something we've ever had our hands on or we can actually even get right now. It's all with the bankrupt estate, and that's why today we're telling people to refer back to effectively the bankrupt estate and the trustees. There's forms where you can claim on, and we're waiting for news on that also from those administrators, right? Because we're also part of that story as well, and our core goal is really to make, you know, our old riders and our legacy fan riders as happy as possible, and that's part of the work streams. And right now, we know as much as them, to be honest with you. So it's a very difficult situation for sure, and we're keeping track of it and studying it closely.
Nick, your thoughts on a bunch of people ordered just before the bankruptcy and S5 was never delivered. What can the new Van Moof do or not do for these customers?
Well, sadly, that the past is the past a little bit. We feel, you know, really sad for those people. It was something that we tried very hard to negotiate with the previous owners that we should be able to do something for those people. Unfortunately, they decided that wasn't possible. So, you know, hopefully we can do something for them in the future in terms of, you know, providing them with a new bike that they'll be comfortable with and they'll be happy to come back to us. But unfortunately, the past is the past a little bit.
We've talked about the past, and the present is redesigned new parts for existing owners and serviceability, a lot of new service stations. But let's talk about the future, because I'm really anxious to hear where Van Moof is going.
Maybe I'll take the 20,000 foot version, and Elliot can fill in with some product detail. I think the first thing is that Van Moof had cultivated a very unique place in the market. You know, and there are electric cars, and then there's a Tesla, and they were, you know, really the originators of electric cars on a large scale and forced the rest of the motor industry into electrification. I mean, I think that they will have a place in history, you know, whatever happens to them. If you go to the bike industry, there are lots of folding bikes, and then there's a Brompton. And, you know, and I think Van Moof has the ability, has that position, and has the ability to develop that position, you know, even more distinctly in the future. There's, you know, there are lots of bikes, there are lots of electric bikes, but I think the Van Moof will always be the very distinctive one. It has a very distinctive brand image. It has a very, very fanatical almost following. It looks super cool, and we're gonna cultivate that. So what are the elements that we need to cultivate? Firstly, you know, most of the brand work, frankly, has been done. I mean, it has a distinct image in people's mind. I mean, I was in, you know, Salt Lake City last week doing some work, and, you know, you mentioned Van Moof, and people, you know of the company. They may not know exactly, but it's got a place, and we need to make sure that we evolve that. So we're not going to actually change dramatically. You know, we're here in Amsterdam, we're staying here in Amsterdam, we've got great people, we're going to continue to develop those people. We've got a great distinctive product which will continue to evolve. But, you know, we are in the world of, you know, I would call it premium micro-mobility. That doesn't mean our prices need to be, you know, in the clouds. They need to be accessible, but I think we will always be, you know, the premium end of the market for people because, you know, I read someone who said, you know, the money is there. It's just persuading people that, you know, you have the cool products which will satisfy their lifestyle. So I think the first thing is we're going to stay where we are in terms of, you know, our marketplace positioning. We want to be the cool, the urban mobility, the micro-mobility. But I think then, you know, micro-mobility will come in lots of different flavors. And, you know, at the moment, you know, we have, you know, a couple of versions of a, you know, an urban bike. I think that proposition over time will evolve. There'll be, it's a bit like chewing gum. You know, originally there was, you know, spearmint chewing gum, and now there's every flavor you can think of. And I think that urban mobility will go exactly the same way. So, you know, at the moment we need to keep our feet on the ground, and we're working on, you know, developed versions of what we've got. But I don't think there's any reason, you know, in 20 years' time, you know, why we shouldn't be in a whole variety of different, you know, areas of micro-mobility. And the scooter is part of that portfolio.
Now, the big question, when's the next S6 coming out? And can you tell me anything about it?
So, that's a great question. I tend almost to think about the new S5 we're launching as almost the S6, because we've put so many improvements behind there. There's a few, like a lot of re-engineering parts. There's a lot of improvements. The firmware is amazing. And the whole tech ecosystem is really developed. So already that's going to be a new experience to buy the new 5s, you know, that just came out now, by the way, by the time of this interview, I think. Now, when you talk about the 6, you're talking about the 7 and the 8, you're talking about the scooters, all the product we're going to do. I think one fundamental thing we're trying to align everyone behind is like, what's the purpose of Nmove, right? And to us, and I think we all agree on that, the team, you know, from Taiwan to the Netherlands to the UK to, you know, everyone that works with us, is we want to make urban mobility a pleasure, right? It has to be something that fundamentally you enjoy. And at the same time, solve all the annoying issues that everyone's talking about, right? So noise, pollution, all that stuff. Because the solutions are there. The last barrier is really to make people enjoy them and want to use them and be proud to own them, right? So everything we're doing for the 6 and the 7 is aligned with this. I say 7, but we have different product lines we're working on. On the 6, it's going to be, you know, at least, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of time. It's definitely not for this year. Hopefully next year. The year after that, and we're really focusing on keeping the magic. The magic is not only the design that's, you know, core to Nmove, but also the feature sets, the continuous innovation. We're not comfortable launching products that are okay with the status quo. We want to keep innovating. We want to add new stuff that can. It's about wowing people, but it's also a little bit about not wowing them in the sense that it feels so logical and easy. You know, that you're like, oh, okay, makes sense. You know, we're working on that very actively. And what I can say today is we're dedicating currently huge amount of resources to working on those new products that are coming very soon. And once I have a better timeline that I can tell you and abide by, we definitely will let you know. But not for this year, for an S6 or so.
But the main job for this old guy sitting here is keeping... pulling on the reins, you know, the future models will be put into the market when they're ready to be put into the market and not sooner. And in fact, although it may seem a very kind of boring job to do, you know, the job I'm doing most of the time is, you know, are you sure? Are we ready? Have we checked? Have we done, etc.? And I think there's a tremendous temptation, especially when you're dealing with, you know, young, dynamic company and people within it, that it's rush, 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 rush. And sometimes that's good. I mean, it's a fantastic characteristic. But on the other hand, you know, we need to make sure it's right as well. So, you know, we'll be ready when we're ready. I think we've got some fantastic products, you know, which is going to be, is being launched now, which is a significant upgrade on what we've had before. And then we need to make sure, as Elliot says, that the next level is a step again. You know, the original Van Moof had a whole range of innovative ideas, which were completely new to the market. And that's the essence of Van Moof. And we need to make sure that what comes next has, you know, some new ideas which other people haven't thought of. And I'm pretty confident that based on the background of the company and the people within it, we're going to be able to do that.
So basically, you're going to keep the DNA from the old Van Moof as far as being innovative. I'm very curious because McLaren Applied has an incredible experience with ECUs, with electronics. Are there engineers part of the Van Moof team to apply that applied?
We've had cooperation really from the start, and the scooter, you know, was very much in its early days a McLaren idea, a McLaren Applied idea, and a McLaren idea applied product. So, you know, we've had people involved, you know, really from the start. I think you're right, though, that the area which is underestimated in terms of complexity is the control systems. You know, people are very familiar with it's a battery, so it provides the power. People are very familiar with an electric motor because, you know, many, many things have electric motors. But the difficult thing in cars and in electric bikes and electric scooters is how you control the motor. And that's an area which McLaren Applied have incredible expertise in because, you know, if you're Max Verstappen, you know, you have an electronic throttle and an electronic brake, and you want every small movement of your, you know, your foot or your hand or what have you to translate exactly into, you know, what he wants the vehicle to do. And that's an extreme example, but the principle is the same. You know, electric things were like, you know, a vacuum cleaner originally. You know, you had an on switch and an off switch, and the throttle went, or it went, you know, you turned it off and it braked dramatically. Things have moved on a long, long way. And the car companies that are, you know, really good at this are people like Porsche. You know, the reason that their Taycan product is good to drive is because they're probably a little bit ahead of some of the others in the control system that controls the motor. And, you know, we are planning to be in the same position. And I think that's the area, you know, I don't want to exaggerate this because, you know, McLaren Applied are not bicycle manufacturers, they're not electric bike manufacturers, but the expertise that we do have, which is directly translatable, is in the area of controlling the motor, so the electronic modulation, and also in telemetry. So, you know, one of the things that Van Moof did very well, you know, originally was, you know, the app and the data, you know, transmittal, et cetera, and that's something we're very expert at. So, you know, I hope that in the future you'll be able to see some of that expertise translated into future Van Moof products.
If I understand correctly, we are going to see another product this year sometime. Can you tell me anything about it?
We are working very hard on perfecting and getting it, you know, and getting a new, like, Van Moof worthy electric scooter to the market. We're super excited about it because we really think that from the design to the technology in it to the features that, you know, enhance the rider's capabilities rather than just being there without, you know, making necessarily any sense for riders, we're very confident that we're there now. And we're in the final stages of, you know, testing it like crazy, making sure it's ready to take on life wherever, you know, whatever countries, whatever are the different urban environments where they'll be, you know, used every day. And so, to be honest, I can't give you an exact date because I'm not allowed to. But it's coming very soon and we're super excited about it. And it's going to be part of the Van Moof ecosystem in the sense that with your app, you'll be able to have your scooter, your bike in your phone and effectively access them whenever you want. And the whole ecosystem will be aligned and work together in a way. So the tracking, the information you display, the anti-theft, all that stuff will be fully in parallel. It took us a bit of time, but we're basically there now.
Because originally, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a Lavoy e-scooter. Supposedly, at one point it was going to be launched last year. Mm-hmm. So I assume you've taken this extra time to put Van Moof DNA into this scooter, and you just mentioned a few of the things. Is that why you're launching it half a year later? Because you want to
add features?
That's part of it. So first of all, we had to take, you know, our initial product and then, you know, I wouldn't say significantly re-engineered. That's not true. We got lucky in that the feature set we had in there is really much aligned with the, you know, VanMoof ecosystem. That's also why we you know, got involved with VanMoof. I think part of the work was just linking it and connecting it and making it part of the ecosystem, not only from a product and app perspective, but also from a manufacturing perspective, from a product tracking perspective, from an after sales and all the technology we have that, all the technology we have for after sales, making sure that our scooter fully integrates within that. That's the first part. So of the first bit, I would say, which is probably not the biggest but important, is actually taking the product and, you know, reformulating it to be part of VanMoof. The second bit that to me is probably even more important is that when relaunching VanMoof, our core first step that everyone was focused on was keep your riders on the road, maintain the IT infrastructure, and, you know, relaunch the VanMoof brand and the DNA and its products. So we first want to focus on what are, you know, VanMoof products initially, which are the e-bikes effectively, and getting spare parts back into the market, fixing threes, getting sorted with all that, making sure that's all sorted, sorry. And then after that, once everyone is, you know, comfortable, it's reliable, it's running well, we'll then look at adding new products to the VanMoof ecosystem. So that's the bigger part of it, yeah.
I think the thing that's encouraging, the scooter that had originally been developed as a Lavoy product actually naturally has fitted quite well into a VanMoof, you know, product lineup, because it was a distinctive product. I mean, most scooters, as you know, are simple kind of chocolate bar folding mechanisms, so they're quite long and cumbersome, and you know, you try and carry them and they're not very stable, so it's kind of a difficult thing to carry around. What these guys had developed is something which folds into three. Now that is innovative, it's completely different in the marketplace. It turns it into a much more compact, easy to carry device. So it fitted quite well. And, you know, I think, you know, as I said earlier, VanMoof needs to deliver over time a whole range of products. And we know that scooters are somewhat divisive. You know, some people love them, some people hate them. I mean, the research shows it's very much age-based. Young people love scooters. Older people tend to hate them with a passion. But we think it's an important part of the lineup. And the good news is we had something already partly developed that actually naturally has fitted very well into the lineup. As Elliot says, we've had to VanMoofize it because, you know, we were developing completely different operating software. It was a very different user interface, which we've had to bring together with the VanMoof user interface, which has taken a bit of time. But I think, you know, having that extra time has also enabled us to do a lot more testing. You know, the triple fold mechanism is complicated. Other scooter companies like Pure have had, you know, a number of difficulties in that area, and we've been able to use the extra bit of time to do additional testing. So I think it's going to, you know, whether it's the volume product, I think is debatable. I think VanMoof will still very much be, you know, the traditional more bicycle rather than the scooter. But I think it's, you know, the way we intend to go with a continuum of products.
In the Netherlands, the e-scooters are at the moment still illegal. Are you going to introduce it here, or what markets are you introducing the new VanMoof e-scooter?
Yeah, so that's the important scooter question today, I would say, that I get the most. Look, we're going to focus on where it's legal and fully endorsed by governments. There's Germany, there's France, we have the US as well, the UK. We have rental schemes there now. We're hearing that hopefully soon that might evolve into something else. We don't know for sure yet, but we'll focus on distributing that product where, you know, of course it's welcomed by regulators and so on. That's helpful to us. Why? Because it allows to ensure that whatever product enters that category in market has to abide by standards and regulations, which are obviously roadworthy and you know, automotive, of an automotive level. It's important because it makes sure that the category isn't pulled down by, like, you know, toy level products. So we're kind of happy that France, Germany, you know, the US are available markets. They're big markets that we're happy to serve. And effectively, whenever if the Netherlands ever make that move, for sure we'll be ready. But until then, it's not going to be at all like something we look at focusing on, right? Of course.
So I have to go abroad to review the future e-scooter.
One important note, which is true in the Netherlands and in the UK, you're allowed to use e-scooters on private property. They're not illegal products. Like you're allowed to purchase it as you would purchase, you know, a Ferrari, but not drive it to 300 kilometers per hour on public roads, right?
But I only have a balcony.
There you go. You can try it there. But the point is you're allowed to use them on private lands, effectively. So if you have the land or you're in the countryside in a private area, you're allowed to use them and enjoy them. But it's about public roads and, you know, road traffic, effectively.
I think the important point here is that it is absolutely clear that legislation and the attitude of governments towards different types of urban mobility will change. Scooters are very divisive. We've done our own research in many countries, you know, and it's clear cut, you know, that younger people, the younger demographic, absolutely love them, and the older demographic absolutely hate them. Now, politicians being politicians have got to, you know, try and find a happy situation between the two. So at the moment, the situation is somewhat ambivalent. You know, countries, as you know, like the UK and Holland, they're illegal, but they're sort of tolerated. And so, you know, you only have to go to London to see, you know, the number of people riding around on them. And that's the decision, clearly, of the riders. But I think what you'll see over the next 2, 3, 5 years is government policy coming into line with the reality. And if you want a city with less four-wheel cars, then you are going to have to, you know, and you want to reduce emissions and you want to reduce noise and you want to, you know, make it a more pleasant environment, then inevitably you are going to have to allow people to use other forms of transportation. And so I think, you know, we're part of a moving situation here. You know, as Elliot says, you know, we will sell the product to people who want to buy it. In some countries, they'll only be allowed to use them, you know, on private land. Others, they can use them more widely. But I think that situation is going to change. You know, it may not be tomorrow, but over the next few years, it'll change.
And one last thing that's very important is that, you know, like urban, you know, e-scooters are actually part of the traffic and city solution 100% from a fundamental perspective, from an engineering standpoint, from, you know, also in a road traffic way, right? It's so compact as an e-bike, right? So definitely we do believe that in the long term, we're going to see positive movement in that direction, but we don't know for sure yet, of course.
And then there is the speed pedelec.
Is that
the V?
Yeah.
Right. Is it coming?
We hope so. And it's an amazing product. I've seen prototypes, I've seen designs, we have designs with illustrations on it, and it's something that also is part, as Nick described, of a future VanMoof ecosystem that we're working on. It's not currently our product pipeline priority. We have other products that we're going to launch first, but it's something that is still being worked on and that hopefully will come in the relatively short term.
Nick, Elliot, thank you for your time. It was very informative, and I'm really looking forward to some future VanMoof products.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Forza VanMoof.
Exactly.
Dat was hij, de bonusaflevering. Vond je dit nou boeiend of juist helemaal niks? Laat wat van je horen via podcast@bright.nl of via een van onze socials. Tot volgende week.